This is our interview with Rich Byerly. Rich was with the college for a number of years in management and leadership capacities. And today, Rich, we'd like to talk a little bit about research and development at DMAC when it started and just how that operation then impacted the college over a long period of time. Could you tell us what your initial position was at the college and what year you left the college?
The initial position was called research and development director of that. I came there in the 1970 and left in 1984. And the research and development was really a two-pronged approach at things. One was, of course, in those days, we and many people may not know, when we started new programs, we had to run what they call a skill needs survey. And the skill needs survey basically had to illustrate that within our area, we had student interest in a program, proposed program, and we had industrial needs. So that's the name skill needs. Actually, this survey was perfected by Phil Langerman in his doctoral dissertation. It became really the format, again, for all of the colleges to use with the Department of Public Instruction. At that time, that was Department of Education. Then the second part of that was the grants, and that's where I think we got a chance to look at. We were aggressive, and aggressive in the way that we wanted to start new things. So we really had a multi-pronged approach to that. We were trying to find funding for things, and there were some of the things that happened. I had a staff of people to work with me, like these were other administrators, like Leonard Bankston and Carol Bennett and Harold Gamm and instructors like Sharon Moore and some of those. And, of course, having Phil Langerman there and then in the role of Vice President for Instruction was really there. Some of the things we did with that is the ideas would come forth. We needed a new program. For example, dental hygiene, we actually funded that in Washington. The nursing programs, we started those with federal funds. The urban campus, which later became Phil Langerman and I. A quick story on that. Phil Langerman and I were at a meeting in Model Cities. Both of us served on, I don't know how many community boards, probably 15 or 20 each of us every month that we were gone. And we were shamed into that why couldn't we have a campus down there for the minorities? So the urban campus actually was a Model Cities grant. Then we then hired Zach Hamlet to start that out, and it was there. The development also included research for branch campuses, and before we approached Carroll, we took a survey to see where that was. And then, of course, the thrust of new programs became also to help us improve. That's where our Title III grants came in, and ironically enough, our labor studies program was started by a National Endowment for the Humanities grant. So all of those were thrust right down the line, and that's where it really... We use research and development to look at as a way of getting new things done at the college.
So there was a terrific amount of community involvement then to make that all, to validate it and to find the needs and to address them. Do you, there was a lot of interaction then with federal people, obviously, along the way because these grants were federal. Did you spend quite a bit of time in Washington?
I was in and out of Washington at least about a week every month or at least several days. And, I actually lived in Washington for a while, worked out of Congressman Neil Smith's office, and later, of course, the story is he kind of talked me into getting into politics, so I did serve in the Iowa legislature for a 10-year period there in 1973 to 83. And then all that involvement, actually, Carol brought us over to the whole foundation area, which was another area we wanted to start. And that's where we started the foundations, and those are the 501c3 operations of the college. We actually set up one large foundation and then allowed campuses to really operate autonomously. For example, Norm Ackerman was the overall chairman, I think our first chairman of all of the DMAC Foundation. Penny Wranglos, whose husband Jim was a Colorado All-American basketball player. Penny became really quite a leader of the Boone operation, which became one of the largest donor operations we had. Those were all set up separate by campus, and we even set up Carroll separate by campus. All those were all done under legal text, and we had separate accounts keeping them from there. The main thrust of those was scholarship, but we did get around equipment donations and other things later on in that career. So all of those came up very quickly, but they did another allowed us to give an avenue for student growth. And this would parallel what the Regents private colleges and those were already doing. So community college, we were a little bit behind them on that role, but that's how we then took that on. So that Wills, Drafts, and we did have it. And we had some very talented people there. For example, Lloyd Quarter out of Boone was really an outstanding member of that group. There were some other ones, Doc Rouse, as I mentioned, Penny Wrangles. There were some real community leaders who had a dedication to our campus and operation, both at EMAC and there, and then later at Carroll.
Well, certainly the building blocks for what is there now as a very, very successful college were laid back in that period of time. I see their time has pretty well gone on this interview. I want to thank again Dr. Rich Byerly for his comments and certainly for all that he did to lay the groundwork for what has later become an outstanding institution. Thanks, Rich.
You're welcome.